welcome to Frontiers of Faith, the podcast of the Pontifical Mission Societies. I am Katie Ruvalcaba, and with me this week is the lead singer of Blondie, Father Anthony Andreozzi. Welcome in, Father.
That's dating yourself a little bit, Katie, but thank you. I appreciate that.
No, I was trying to pick a band that would have been popular in your youth.
But. Yes, right. Absolutely, absolutely.
It's wonderful to see you again. We just, last week, we were able to speak with Father, or rather Bishop, we both kept making that mistake, Bishop Vincent from the Archdiocese of, let's pronounce that for me.
The Long Way.
Okay. It sounds like The Long Way, so I'll try it. The Long Way. There we go. Gosh, that was so edifying and so wonderful to hear from him. And I love when we get to speak to people from the missions and people who are just equally invested in the whole thing as you are. And I know, gosh, it's just great. And I hear that there's going to be a meeting coming up soon where all those people can get together and have that same kind of edifying experience, right?
Absolutely. So we have a national meeting each year, and it usually moves around the country. And this year, we're doing it in conjunction with something called CAM 6. So let me just unpack this a little bit. About the third week of November, the week before Thanksgiving, a full week before that, missionaries and those involved with mission animation from the Americas, from Canada down to the Southern Cone, will be gathering in Ponce, Puerto Rico, to share best practices, to get inspiration, to hear what's going on in other parts of the Americas of Catholic missionaries, priests, religious lay people, and obviously a growing number of lay people doing mission work. Preceding that by a few days will be our national meeting in San Juan. So November 15th, which is a Friday. So from Friday to Sunday, we'll be in San Juan for that national meeting. I know diocesan directors and bishops have been invited, and already RSVPing. And then we're hoping many, if not all, will be able to transition down to Ponce, where we'll be really at an international gathering. And we're working to see that there would be a mission experience, you know, a half day thing where folks can go out in either Ponce or San Juan to see, you know, rather than seeing it on a PowerPoint or hearing about it, but seeing the work of the missions happening right then and there in Puerto Rico. So we're pretty excited about that. So,
yeah, I know for me, being able to actually set foot in mission territory and meet the people that the missions are serving was such a life altering experience. And you're talking about having like the difference between a PowerPoint and literally touching the hands of somebody who is the person Christ died for that we are trying to serve.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh, that sounds fantastic. I'm very excited. I actually got the go-ahead to come. And so if you come to this meeting, I'm going to be bringing my microphones. I'm going to be interviewing people. We're going to have so much great mission-based content coming out for the podcast out of that meeting. So if you're listening and you want to come and meet with us, find me. Anyway, that's very exciting. Have you been to Puerto Rico before the missions out there?
Many, many years ago. But so, I'm excited, and you know, I've been to Ponce and to San Juan, and so again, but it's not only where it is, but it's going to be all the people we're going to meet, which will be. I went to a meeting back in say October outside of Montreal with a smaller number of people who are planning Camp 6, and that was very energizing to see, you know, a small number of the people who will be gathering now in Puerto Rico.
Yeah. It's one of those things where if you're in mission work or if you're in any kind of work, right, it's so good to be with people who share your passion for it, who can help you to improve in what you're doing. And just to get excited about it again, like everybody kind of leaves, I hate the expression Jesus high, but you know, like when you leave like a Steubenville conference or like an NCYC kind of thing, you leave with this incredible motivation to continue doing stuff because you've seen other people who are encouraging you and pushing for that. I think that's just a great experience for people to have, especially in mission work.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Well, we are in the third week of Easter already. That is a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, that is just, the year is flying by. It's going to be Christmas again before we even know what's going on. What are some things that are going on in your life right now that you feel like Christ is really working in?
I was in preparing various homilies for the first in Lent and now into Easter. One thing that struck me was that if you look at the Lent Easter season as a whole, and the movement of the Spirit through it, you know, some people often talk about how Easter is 50 days while Lent is 40 days. And that's worth reflecting on, that it's 50 days of rejoicing. But we know that the Paschal mystery, and that's such a, I was working on an essay with someone recently who was helping me brainstorm, and he used the term Paschal mystery. And I was like, wow, I'm very impressed, because actually that term, the Paschal mystery, which I think we hear a lot, those of us who are obviously very, very regularly engaged in our faith, we kind of think that, we've always been talking about the Paschal mystery, but actually that's a pretty recent thing, that theological concept of the Paschal mystery. There was a great French theologian, French oratorian, Louis Bouilhet, who wrote a book called The Paschal Mystery circa 1950. He was part of that Nouvelle Theologie, that new theology that really led to Vatican II. I think before, for a long time, tremendous emphasis was put on the passion and death of Jesus, which is obviously significant, but it's kind of one of three parts: life, death, resurrection. So the Paschal mystery, that's an enormous amount to take in, life, death, and resurrection. So we usually like everything life. Take a little piece today, take a little piece tomorrow. But we always have to remember that it's one piece, life, death, resurrection. And our daily lives often have all three. We're struggling to be faithful to the life of Jesus. There's a death going on in us, a sadness, a struggle with sin, a struggle for transformation, but then there's also resurrection too. So I've been thinking about during this whole Lent Easter season, even when I'm talking about one of those three, never to lose track of the other two. I don't know if that all makes sense, but that's what's on my mind.
Yeah, it does. And it's kind of floating around in my brain in like a weird nebulous cloud right now. But at what you're saying, like, I was just thinking to myself, he must be an incredible homilist. But that's just a really great way of thinking of it. We're going to have a guest on in a couple of weeks here. His name is Patrick, who does a podcast. We interviewed one of his co-hosts a couple of months ago as well. But he had a whole section that he did once on their podcast about the incarnation. And it was a similar concept. Like when you really try to pin down, or when you really contemplate or meditate on the concept of the incarnation, it can take over like just giant amounts of space in your brain. And it's the same thing with the Paschal mystery. When you're thinking about all of the things that entails, how much, like what that means for us as people, that our Lord became a human being and overcame death. Death is not the final answer. And we're all going to continue to experience that death throughout our lives. We're going to experience those various struggles like you're talking about, but they are never the end. And not only that, but it has value now. And in the world today, suffering is something that we avoid like the plague. We would like to be super, super far away from suffering wherever possible. But Christ redeemed suffering. Like, it's no longer this terrible thing. The Paschal mystery is just this. Anyway, you got up in my brain. I can't, I'm going to be thinking about that all day now. So sorry, listeners, this is now your brain worm also.
And what's going on with you, Katie, during this Easter season? Can I ask that?
Yeah. So I have five kids. I don't know how much our listeners know that.
I want to hear more about them. Yeah, if you feel comfortable, even on broad strokes.
Yeah, yeah. So my oldest daughter, she's turning 16 this summer. She is going on her first away from home trip without parents. She's going to my my stepmom's house. So she's just going to grandma's. So it's not that big of a deal, okay. But she's going to fly by herself. They're going to New York City to go take in a show. Like, it's going to be a whole thing. And she is super duper excited for that entire thing. And I am in this weird phase of life where I have this 16-year-old about to be, she's a sophomore in high school, and I have a 3-year-old at the same time, and then a couple kids in between there. I've got my feet in two different worlds at all times, because the parenting of a toddler is massively different than the parenting of a teenager. And so trying to be in both of those worlds at the same time is a lot. And it's I could use your prayers is what I'm saying. I have great kids. My kids are wonderful, awesome humans. Like, you know, people always love their kids, but I actually like all of my kids. I think all of my kids are cool, super neat people. But while I'm trying to, like, you know, sort of tomato steak the 3-year-old and teach her to grow up with a strong, you know, role model right next to her, I'm having to let go of this other kid over here. And it really is, you know, very similar to what you were just talking about that Paschal mystery of having to hold two conflicting ideas in your hands at the same time and make them work. So I definitely could use everybody's prayers right now. We're just trucking along with the whole thing. I just want kids, I just want kids to grow up and still love Jesus when they get out of the house. So here we are. That's the main thing on my heart. And actually, I can't think of a great transition here to the gospel, but it feels like there's one in there. Like, we're going to figure out what it is after we read the gospel. I'll come back and edit it. I won't edit it in later. I'm not going to do that. That'll sound weird. But the this week's gospel actually is from Luke, and it's the disciples on the road. Are you ready to read it? Can I just move into it? Are we good?
Sure, absolutely.
Beautiful. Okay, so we're in Luke chapter 24, verses 35 through 48. The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way and how Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. That it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you can see I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish, and he took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything that was written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are the witness of these things." It was speaking of journeys that we're all on together. That was the transition. That was what I missed.
That's good. That's a good transition. And I obviously we're picking up right after the Emmaus story here. Toward the end of Luke. Yeah.
Yeah. The Emmaus story is one. I always say it's one of my favorite gospels. I got to stop saying that because the gospel is my favorite gospel. I don't know. But I love when they're talking about finding Jesus into the breaking of the bread. We're in this year of the Eucharistic revival, and I feel like all of the readings that we've got this year really are hammering that home. But what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, I think when I've preached on this gospel in the past is I do make a point of saying that, the fact that the Lord is eating, fish here shows that the first believers were making great pains to say this was literal. This was true. His resurrection was not something that just happened inside their hearts and minds. While we often speak about, and I think it's rightly so, we talk about our daily resurrections, our daily sufferings, crucifixions, crucifixions of people happening in the world today. We do that because of the first literal resurrection of the Lord. I don't think any of the apostles, the early believers who literally gave their lives for this, would have done so for just an idea about this. they did experience the risen Lord. Obviously, they struggled to explain this because, you know, it was beyond human conception, but they did experience something profound and otherworldly. And the fact that, you know, ghosts don't eat fish. So I think that, especially in this day and age, I don't think it's a bad idea that homilist preachers, you know, spend a couple of minutes just kind of talking about that. So,
yeah, we live in an age of accidental dualism, is what I like to call it all the time, where people just don't like to believe that their body and their soul are one, and that bodies are important and meaningful. And in this particular case, like, this is a bodily resurrection of our Lord. This was not Elvis sightings. This is not, you know, a ghost or a vision, sort of the way that we see our Blessed Mother sometimes, like knock or at Fatima. This is, you could touch him. He ate in front of you. These are, I have a thing in my head. If anybody's approximately my age, they might have seen the Casper the Friendly Ghost movie from the 90s, where the ghosts try to eat and the food just falls straight through them. It wasn't that. This is our Lord was there physically present to these people. And I think that this is something that we really need in our world today, is to understand that the body and the divinity and the soul of Christ was all one. And our bodies and souls are all one. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We cannot separate those two things out. And it's so important that we take good care of our bodies and that we care about them and that we experience the sacraments. And that's why we have all of these sacraments that speak to our senses, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, again, just like last week, the first word the Lord speaks to them is peace. You know, there's a lot going on. You know, the first believers are shaken because of the crucifixion, and they're very unsettled. And he keeps repeating this word peace to them, which he repeats to us, because the church is, if there ever was going to be a golden age for the church, for the community of believers, you would have thought it would have been these 50 days of Easter. You know, my gosh, the Lord had just risen and was with them. There was no golden age. There was no golden age. There was still struggle with belief, with persecution, with suffering, with squabbles within the, with, you know, disagreements amongst the believers. Never has been a golden age, and there never will be.
Yeah. As it turns out, it's just a lot of the cross for all of us forever.
Right.
Yeah. This reminds me a lot of what Bishop Vincent was talking about last week when he was talking about the people that he finds joy from, that they come to him and they tell him, like, you know, Father, I don't have shoes, I don't have clothes, I don't have food even, that he was specifically referencing. And he thanked our listeners of the American church at the end of that episode. And that overwhelmed my heart in such a way that if you listen to me talk after he said that, I was trying not to cry, and I was being very, like, I just felt like I sounded dumb. But the church in the mission territories, they're lacking in food and basic things like that, and they're still finding this joy of Christ, and they're still coming to him, they're still looking for him, they're still, you know, he was talking about them coming to Mass with, you know, walking long distances and being elderly, and there's something in this speaks to that for me, that we are looking to support and prop up the churches in the mission fields because that faith is there, but the material wealth is not there. And the way that these disciples are giving food to our Lord, that to me just speaks volumes to what Bishop Vincent was talking about. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts based on that?
Oh, yeah. And you know, when we spoke to Bishop Vincent a couple of weeks ago, you know, he said something quite generous, quite thoughtful, something about how, you know, the church and the missions in Malawi is not able to offer to us in the United States or in the West, you know, material help. But the connection, the relationship between us and them is just like the connection between human beings. At this point, your five children cannot offer you any, you and their dad, your husband are giving them all their material, but that doesn't mean they don't give back to you. They give you back a tremendous amount. And please God, when you guys are old and they will help you in other ways. And that's the way the church has worked too. So it is a web of human connections, and that's a beautiful thing. So
yeah, a web of human connections. Yeah, when he said we have no material goods to give you, but we have our prayers. I was just thinking, like, how efficacious are those prayers? That's so wonderful. Like, those are, when I was in the mission territories, I was in India, so I didn't get to see actually Bishop Vincent's people. But when I was there, the prayers of those people seemed so much more powerful because they came from a place of, this is my everything that I have to give you. This is the widow's mite, basically. This is everything I have to give to you. And we kind of roll our eyes nowadays at thoughts and prayers. People are like, oh, that's, what good is that? It's so much good, especially when that's what they have to offer. When he said, we don't have material to offer you, we only have our prayers. I was like, only? That is everything. Right. That is so much that they have to offer. And I didn't get to press it at the time because, again, he flabbergasted me with that statement. But like our listeners, we have more material wealth. And when he was talking about us being able to help with it, please check out onefamilyandmission.org. There's a place to be able to help, to donate to the causes that the Pontifical Mission Society supports. And that includes those kinds of missions and providing that food and that material support and that bodily help, provides the bicycles that they need to be able to get from one village to the next, to be able to do just, you know, to say the mass, to be able to give those sacraments. I wonder if our listeners fully understand the value of the prayers that they are being offered by the missions and the way that their material support really does make such a difference. I don't know.
No, that all makes a lot of sense.
Probably would have embarrassed him if I had said that in front of him too. So it's probably best that I didn't.
Well, we said it now. That's okay.
Yeah.
And hopefully he's a weekly listener.
Hopefully. Yeah. He doesn't have anything else going on. But, you know, you play it in the car, right? It's great.
That's right.
Exactly. Well, it's been so wonderful to get to talk to you, Father Anthony. And we have wonderful guests coming up in the next couple of weeks. So I hope you guys are listening every week and have a wonderful Easter season. Father Anthony, do you have any closing remarks or blessings you'd like to give to our listeners?
Just, I think, as we continue through this Easter season, these 50 days, and we hear again in this Sunday's upcoming gospel about the Lord extending peace, may the good Lord bless us through the powerful intercession of His Blessed Mother, that wherever there is not peace in our world, peace in our hearts, peace in our families, there be the possibility of transformation and resurrection. Amen.
Amen. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks, Katie.
Frontiers of Faith is a podcast of the Pontifical Mission Societies, produced by Katie Ruvalcaba. Theme music by Ethan Stevie. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at @faith_frontiers and at Frontiers of Faith on Facebook and Instagram. To support the work of the Pontifical Mission Societies, please go to onefamilyinmission.org to donate.